Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is going to talk a lot about the kingdom of heaven or the church. And by the time we finish this chapter, I think we're going to understand that, Jesus thinks that the church, his church, is very important and very valuable. It says, the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, I'm sure that's the Sea of Galilee, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So he's in a boat offshore, and the crowd's all there on the shore listening to him. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, a parable is, I like to say, it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And parables are simple stories that you don't have to be a farmer to understand that this person is out sowing seed. Now, of course, he's not really talking about seed. He's talking, or soils. He's the person that is teaching the word of God to people who are the soils. So he's teaching them the word of God, and this is their responses. People have different responses, different reactions to the gospel of Christ. And here in a little bit, he is going to explain to his disciples exactly what he means by this parable. And the disciples came to him and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now, he's not saying, well, you know, you get to understand what I'm saying, but they don't get to understand. They're not allowed. God doesn't allow them to understand. No, that's not what he's saying. This all has to do with a person's heart and whether they want to listen and learn or whether they don't. It's based on their heart. Do they have an open, good heart wanting to learn the word of God, or do they have a closed heart where they don't care and they don't want to know what Jesus is talking about, and they don't even try to figure out what the parable means because they don't care? So let's see. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But whoever does not have, even that he has shall be taken away from him. Now, again, he's talking about a person's heart. If they're open and they're willing to listen and wanting to, they're going to gain more and more knowledge of God's word. If you're closed-minded and you don't have a good heart and you don't care, you're gonna have even less and less knowledge of God's word. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. This is a choice. This is not somebody doing this to them. This is a choice. They choose not to see, they choose not to hear, they choose not to understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, and this is from Isaiah 6, 9 and following, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart has become thick or callous, and their ears are dull of hearing, and they have closed their eyes. See, they have closed their eyes, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. It's a choice. These people are doing this to themselves. And today in this country, I mean, last statistic I read, 60% of Americans don't even believe in God. That's just makes me sick at my stomach to think that. That would be these people. They don't believe. They don't want to hear it. Most people will never, ever open their Bibles. They won't listen to these recordings I'm making. They won't look at my website because they don't believe and they don't care. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see what you see and have not seen them, and to hear what you hear and have not heard them. I think he's talking about prophets and righteous men from old times in the Old Testament, because they wanted to know more about God's mysteries. But God reveals things to man only a little at a time, when he sees fit, when mankind is ready to hear it. So he reveals things to us at the right time. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. Now he's going to explain it. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed in stony places, the same as he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the world, he immediately stumbles. Okay, so, like I said, people will react differently to the gospel of Christ. Some people will not even understand it, because they don't care to understand it. Completely reject it right up front. Right up front. Don't even get so far as to get them to understand the gospel of Christ. Immediately shut you down. Okay, then there's people that, okay, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, I'll become a Christian. Sure, no problem. But 5 minutes later, they are right back living their worldly, wicked lives. They don't have any root. They don't have any depth to them. Maybe they reacted to Christianity when they felt emotional one day. And then that emotion went away, as all emotions do. And they wish went back to their old life. Also, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So again, this would be a person who became a Christian, and maybe even for a little while was doing good and obeying God, living right. But, man, materialism and money and cares of the world, nope, I'm out of here. I'm done. But he who receives seed in the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who also bears fruit and brings forth, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So these are the people that become Christians, they stay Christians, and they produce fruit, or good works, obedient works. Now it says some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now, that can be for a couple of different reasons. One, some people just have more talents in some areas than others. So, you know, I'm really good at this, but I'm not so good at that. It also could be when people become Christian. If they become a Christian early in life, they're going to be able to produce a lot more fruit for God. Whereas somebody who doesn't become a Christian till late in life maybe is not able to have time to produce fruit for God before they die. He presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is similar to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade had sprung up and brought forth fruit, then the weeds also appeared. So the servants of the landowner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servants said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the weeds, you also root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the weeds and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now I know exactly what this parable means, because in a few more verses, Jesus is going to describe each variable in this parable. So what he's saying is that he is planting Christians in the world. Okay, so there are Christians in the world because they believe and obey. But then Satan came along and he sowed weeds among the wheat and went his way. So you've got Christians and non-Christians living in this world together. We're not talking specifically about the church here. We're just talking about the world in general. There are Christians and there are non-Christians. You can put every person in the world in one of those two categories. So one are of Christ, the other are of Satan. So then the angels came and asked Jesus, hey, do you want us to go ahead and go destroy the wicked? And Jesus says, no, lest when you grab the wicked, you'll destroy the Christians with them. So just let the world be as it is until Judgment Day. And then on Judgment Day, the angels will come and they will take the wicked and they will go to hell and the righteous will go to heaven. That's bottom line what Jesus is saying. He presented another parable to them saying, the kingdom of heaven or the church is similar to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in its branches. So the church, his church, is going to start out small, but it's going to grow, and it's going to become strong. He spoke to them another parable. The kingdom of heaven, or the church, is similar to leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of flour until the whole was leavened. Again, growth. Growth of the Lord's church. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled that was spoken by the prophet, saying, and this is from Psalm 78:2, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, declare to us the parable of the weeds of the field. Now this is where Jesus defines every variable of the parable of the wheat and the tares. He answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Now that's Jesus. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, Christians, but the weeds are the children of the wicked one, non-Christians. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, or Judgment Day, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the weeds are gathered together and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom, the world, all things that cause stumbling and those who do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, hell. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, heaven. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Which I always kind of think that means, pay attention and listen to what I'm saying. Again, the kingdom of heaven is similar to treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Are you starting to get the idea that Jesus thinks that his church is very valuable? Extremely valuable? Oh, yeah. So, for all those people out there that are like, oh, I go to church a couple times a year, Easter and Christmas, that makes me a good person. That makes me a Christian. Has no idea what the church really is. I mean, Jesus died for the church. He gave his life for the church, for his church, his one church. Again, the kingdom of heaven is similar to a merchant seeking fine pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, valuable. Again, the kingdom of heaven or the church is similar to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind. When it was full, they pulled it to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Again, a separation of the wicked from the righteous on the day of judgment. And only those in the church, only those in the Lord's body are going to go to heaven. If you look real quick at 1 Corinthians 15:24, it says, "Then the end comes," talking about Judgment Day, "when he," that's Christ, "shall deliver up the kingdom to God," that's the church, "even the Father, when he has put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet." So what's going to happen on Judgment Day? Then the end comes when he shall deliver the church to God. If you're not in the church, in his body, you are not going to heaven. That's not me saying it. That is God and Christ saying it in his word. Again, the kingdom of heaven or the church. We already read that. Let's see. Or did we? Yeah, that's the separating of people here. So I'm in verse 51. Now I can't remember if I read all of those verses. I think I did. Okay. Verse 51, Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" So he's just told several parables, explaining how valuable the church is, what's going to happen at the end of the world. The wicked are going to be separated from the righteous. The righteous are those in the church. The wicked are those that are not in the church. Christians versus non-Christians. On the day of judgment, there will be a separation. They say to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who is instructed in the kingdom of heaven is similar to a man who is a landowner, who brings forth out of his treasures new and old things." So scribes had, they had a precious treasure as far as the word of God. They had the word of God in their hands, and it was very valuable, very valuable. "And it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. And when he had come to his own country," so I'm thinking Galilee, "he taught them in their synagogue to such a degree that they were astonished and said, 'Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother called Mary? And his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? They have no respect for Jesus whatsoever. None. And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?' And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house.' And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." When you have people that just will not believe, no matter, even if we were able to perform a supernatural act in front of them, and they still don't believe, you got to walk away. And that's what Jesus did here. He walked away from his own hometown because they rejected him. And that is Matthew 13.